I'm at the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis for an exclusive interview with President Jim Bullard. He and his staff invited us here to do the entire three-hour show. We are thrilled and delighted to be here having a fascinating discussion. We have two top economists lined up to discuss his remarks with me when we conclude in about a half an hour or so. First, I want to get to Lydia Thieu for an update on stocks. Lydia, it's not the most lovely day, and we had a little bit of hope yesterday after the sell-off last week, but today's a little bit ugly.
It's definitely... Definitely not a pretty picture with the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ composite all down about 1.6% today, and it's a pretty broad decline with all the major industry groups within the S&P 500 lower. Commodity-related stocks are the weakest, however, with materials and energy stocks down 2% or more overall. Oil down on the day, trading at $82.56. Copper also lower on the day. As for weight on those commodity prices, we did hear from the Chinese state newspaper talking about price control to cool inflation, and that is certainly weighing on commodity prices and therefore commodity-related stocks. Also on the move and seeing some weakness just generally from those headlines coming out of Europe, investors just digesting any kind of news flow having to do with Ireland and those reported talks with the EU and IMF. As for individual movers today, Walmart earnings, a little bit of a mixed quarter for them. They had a 9% gain in profit on the quarter. Earnings per share matched estimates, though they did raise their full-year forecast. They're seeing sales growth abroad, sales declines domestically. This has been the trend for Walmart over the past 6 quarters. However, the CEO, Mike Duke, saying he is, quote, encouraged by the sales and traffic pickup at Walmart. Also, interestingly, the CEO of Bank of America had some comments about consumer credit. We got those consumer credit credit card delinquency numbers yesterday, which on average showed write-offs a little bit mixed, but the trend seems to be an improvement in delinquencies. And the CEO today at Bank of America saying consumer credit across the board is stabilizing, seeing more leisure spending in cards, and consumer credit is improving despite the jobless rate. So a little bit of positive news there, but the bottom line today is this concern about the Chinese trying to slow down inflation, what that's going to mean for commodity prices, and then any kind of further austerity measures or potential bailout for some of the countries in Europe, Kathleen. So that's really what's driving the market lower today. Right now, 1.7% lower on the Dow.
Lydia Thieu, stock sector, thank you so very much. Let's get right to our very special guest, Jim Bullard, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. And actually, we are his guest here at the bank. And, Jim, I want to thank you again for having us in.
Thanks again for coming.
And you guys have all done such a great job of setting it up. Really appreciate it. I've got a couple of listener questions, and this is always fun. They're listening closely. And I want to thank Bob for this one. Why do you mention Japan? Why hold us up to Japan? Because we are nothing like Japan. A shrinking population in Japan. Falling productivity. They were having a stronger currency. And I see what he means, that and a trade surplus, we've got a trade deficit. But there seem to be so many differences between the U.S. and Japan. They're an island. We're huge. I mean, they export. We import and consume. So why always compare us to Japan? Why is that a valid comparison?
Well, until recently, the number two economy in the world, big industrialized, very similar to the U.S. in those respects. It's true they're a big exporter, but still I think they also had a big bubble in land and housing prices, real estate prices in the early 90s, which all collapsed, equity prices collapsed. And in the aftermath of that bubble, they kept interest rates at a very low level for a very long time, and eventually expectations of inflation dropped down to very low levels, and they ended up with a mild deflation. So I think that's the I don't think we really understand everything that has happened in Japan fully. But as a policymaker, my concern is that we not try to experiment with that sort of model and going forward. That we, you know, we said we have an implicit inflation target of let's say 2%. Why not? You know, what's the purpose of having an inflation target if you're not going to defend it from the low side?
Okay. Well, fair enough. Another question, and I think this kind of coming out of your very excellent talk on QE2 and 5 Easy Pieces from November 8th, and I highly recommend mm-hmm. that to people who want to be walked through a lot of these basic concepts.
That's on my webpage.
On your webpage, yes. Jim Bull, a really cute picture of him, too. It's all, you know, Facebook, whatever. You say that the FOMC is committed to returning the Fed's balance sheet to pre-crisis levels over time, and you say it's imperative for the Congress and President to attack the long-run budget problems the nation faces, my listener is pointing out. But what is the time span for unwinding the balance sheet over time? What happens if the long-run budget problems aren't tackled? Isn't that what the market and foreign holders of U.S. debt are concerned about? That is, that the Fed will end up with no choice but to monetize the debt due to political gridlock and lack of political will.
Well, I don't think we're going to monetize the debt. You know, it is imperative that the Congress and the President tackle the long-run budget problems of the United States. We know that neither party has been very good at this, but it's up to us as citizens to get them to move. And I think the European example has just been so stark in this regard that it is possible to borrow too much and on international markets, and international markets lose confidence in your ability to raise taxes in the future and pay that off, that this can really create tremendous problems. And that's what's happening for some of these countries in Europe. Those are smaller countries than ours, and they don't have as much credibility on international markets as we do. We do have stellar credibility on international markets, but it shows you what can happen and how, what a disaster it can be. And I'm hopeful that that's enough to motivate some movement on this issue. And it has to be kind of bipartisan. You can't really expect one party to go ahead and do what needs to be done here.
Now, we were talking about critics of quantitative easing, and there's this whole international contingent that you want to address separately from the internal debate. What's your message to your external, your foreign critics?
Well, we got foreign critics saying that they didn't like the QE program because it impacted their they thought it weakened the dollar, and they thought it impacted their situation. But, I mean, my view of this is that this is a modest change in U.S. monetary policy toward an easier policy. But anytime U.S. monetary policy changes, it will have an impact on exchange rates. And countries have to be ready for that and have to have systems in place to be able to react to that. So I don't think it's really all that legitimate to come back and say that, they wish, you know, they think U.S. monetary policy should do one thing or another. We're going to be concerned primarily about the situation in the U.S. Where are we with respect to inflation, and where are we with respect to full employment, because those are the things that have been handed to us by the Congress.
Are you worried about commodities in the following?
I wouldn't say we don't look at exchange rates. Of course we look at exchange rates because that affects trade flows and that affects our assessment of the U.S. economy. But when thinking about our policy, it's got to be about maximum sustainable employment and inflation.
So that isn't one of your goals, to have a somewhat weaker dollar to boost exports and help the economy?
No, we have a flexible exchange rate.
Okay.
Yeah.
But commodities dollar, weaker dollar makes me think about commodities. It makes me think about energy prices, oil's higher, gasoline prices. It just seems to me, isn't that a danger of quantitative easing? The dollar weakens, commodity prices rise, gas prices cost more, and instead of helping the economy, you hurt it. It hurts consumers.
Yeah, exactly what the connections are between weaker dollar and commodity prices is a good question, and it is something I worry about. It's hard to write down models that really make that come out. It does seem like that when you look at these markets. It seems like there's some connection there. Exactly what it is and how that works is a very good question. Of course, you've got tremendous demand in Asia, especially for a lot of these commodities, so that's a very important concern.
We're going to continue this conversation with Jim Bullard, President of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. Hayes Advantage, brought to you by First Republic Bank.